So with the end of China's annual summer travel season right around the corner, the country is mulling over how to boost its domestic tourism industry. Last week, the State Council released a circular urging local governments to help citizens better enjoy their paid annual leave. So we've been talking about annual leave forever, but how important is this circular?
Well, it seems like the circular is really aimed at improving tourism and not really about defending our rights, which is actually written in the law to have paid leave for anyone who's got a job. Although the detailed regulation for how many days you're entitled varies, but it seems that in general, those who work in the public sector, so government employees or those who work for SOEs, have these paid leaves guaranteed more or less. And then it's those who work in the private sector that find it extremely difficult to even get the paid leaves that's, you know, even written in law.
Yeah, and so the way the law stands right now, according to a 2007 regulation, is that anyone who works in a company for over 1 year can enjoy paid leave. If they work between 1 to 10 years, they get 5 days. 10 to 20 years, they get 10 days. And over 20 years, gets 15 days, which I have to say is sorely lacking in and of itself. And it seems like an ill-planned and very unfair regulation to begin with. But I think the point here is that even if you are entitled to 1 day under the law, more often than not, you don't actually get that. Yeah, you can take time off, but you're not going to get paid for it, is usually the way it works. And so looking at this most recent circular, all it's really doing, again, is, as Xiaohua said, is urging local governments, right, guidelines to promote tourism. And again, it has nothing to do, as He Yang said, about enforcing labor laws that are already on the books. And labor law enforcement, I have to say, in China is fairly atrocious. It just doesn't happen for the most part. And so instead of saying we need to, you know, protect the rights of our citizens as enshrined by law and in the Constitution, all they're really saying is that we need this to promote tourism.
Yes, and I think that's all kind of ironic, I think, when you look at the details of this, because it seems like the purpose of this is about to, you know, to make tourism industry improve and gain more money, that kind of thing. But more than on top of all of this that we've been talking about, the circular also says that colleges can adjust the arrangement of summer and winter holiday, while the primary and middle schools can implement spring breaks with the precondition that the total schooling time is not affected. So in this way, parents are encouraged to use their paid leave to take their children to travel. So I think sort of similar to what Western countries have, you know, with the spring break as well. But it just seems like even when the step before this cannot be guaranteed, and then you're talking about, you know, putting cherries on top, and, you know, how perfect it would be if parents can just take their time whenever they want and take kids out on a break. It just doesn't seem to have any feasibility whatsoever. And with this kind of regulation or circular, excuse me, coming out, I just feel it's sort of a waste of everybody's time.
But also the thing is with spring breaks, I mean, in the U.S., I mean, there's basically three breaks that you have. You have the summer break, the winter break, and then the spring break. In China, it works out a little bit different, mostly because of Spring Festival, which is a national holiday. In the United States, the winter break is structured around Christmas. And so in that sense, I'm not really sure what space there is for an actual spring break, given that Spring Festival, that week long national holiday, is, you know, just before spring actually starts. And so what you're saying is not in the middle of a semester, which usually is the winter break in U.S. schools, rather somehow, you know, three quarters, like right before the examinations, you're going to take a break. I don't understand how exactly that is going to work. But I do think that in general, I mean, schools, also people who work for private companies, there does need to be more space to take time off, which, yes, I mean, will help to increase tourism. And also, I think, I mean, perhaps even more importantly, is to take pressure off of the Golden Weeks, because the Golden Weeks are atrocious. You know, my wife and I are talking about right now, what are we going to do for the October holiday? And honestly, I don't want to do anything, because I don't want to have to worry about overpriced train tickets. I don't want to worry about, you know, scrambling to get train tickets, or, you know, renting a car and trying to go somewhere with all of the horrible traffic that especially the October holiday is notorious for.
Actually, that is a bit of a dilemma there, because on the one hand, you think it's sort of, you know, wasting your precious time when everybody else is out about and you are just at home for the Golden Week. But if you go out anywhere, even if, you know, going abroad, often the popular destinations will be filled with your compatriots as well, and it's just really a headache.
But, you know, what I want to say is that, you know, you guys have been talking about how this won't work, and you're probably right, but, you know, I just want to say that, you know, sometimes having something is better than having nothing. Sure, I agree that the goal of this is probably wrong. It's to promote tourism, which shouldn't be. It should be to guarantee, you know, labor rights for everyone. But, you know, at least we are hearing the word annual leave, paid annual leave again, you know, from maybe 7 years ago in 2007. So at least there's one more national guideline, circular, regulation, whatever you call it, that says that they're going to do that.
Well, yes and no. I mean, this just reminds me of what famous existential psychologist Viktor Frankl talked about in a different context, about pushing society forward in terms of values and morals and things like that. But a similar argument can be made here. He used the metaphor of landing a plane. When a pilot wants to land a plane, they actually have to aim for beyond the runway in order to make actually a successful landing. And so, Xiaohua, your point is well taken, that yes, we should be happy that there is something, but to get what we really want, or to get closer to what we really want, we have to be pushing for more.
Yes, for sure. And I just feel that this seems to be a very slow, incremental process, that we don't know whether we will be able to reach that destination, or that holy grail of ensuring anybody who's got a proper job, who's entitled for that paid leave, can get it. And here, I think maybe, yes, in the sense that we talk about it more, maybe it does somehow influence those policymakers, or even, you know, the employers, that to take this matter seriously. And I think most importantly is really to get those, well, I guess the employers of private companies to make sure that they would be willing to give their workers their paid leave.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, so one of the biggest problems when it comes to paid annual leave is that actually, if you look at the way salaries are broken down, people do get paid annual leave because their monthly salary is not docked. However, what is docked is the quote-unquote bonus, right? And this bonus has been a great way for employees and employers to skirt various labor laws and tax laws, and also keep certain amounts of money in different parts of the book so they can juggle it around a little bit. However, this has become standard practice for almost every single Chinese company. And so that's the biggest problem when we look at paid annual leave, is that people, yeah, you are, in many cases, you actually do get paid annual leave, but your bonus is docked, because technically that's not your monthly salary. And so what we should be talking about more is that people should not have their salaries separated into the monthly salary and then a guaranteed bonus, but just have the monthly salary.
Exactly. And this is the part that even the law doesn't give enough explanation, because it doesn't mention whether the full salary should be guaranteed, or only the income part should be guaranteed, or whatsoever. And also, you know, I think when He Yang said that the public sector is comparatively better, I don't think it's comparatively better. I think they're probably just the same. I mean, the public sector, you know, whether it's working as a civil servant or a public institution worker, a lot of organizations also use what John has been talking about, this way of only giving a tiny part of your salary and naming it basic salary, and you know, getting rid of the bonus, which takes up a bigger part.
Yes, and I think that's a very clever trick that the employers use, no matter public or private. But I still think that at least for those who work in the private sector, you are allowed to take some time off. But when, if you're working in
the public sector,
in the public sector, but in the private sector, often it's like you don't dare even to ask for a day off when you are entitled to do so because, you're just afraid that you might get replaced or you look bad when, you know, when a promotion comes along the way.
You're not dedicated enough. Right. If you take one day off, then that means, you know, you're not committed enough to the job. But also, I think we need to be looking at this 2007 regulation. The idea that the longer that I work for one company, the more time that I get off. I mean, number one, I don't understand why there should be a difference in how long I work, either total or at one company, how that should determine how many days I get off. I mean, there needs to be a legal baseline, perhaps with on a company-by-company bonus basis,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, this is a decision the company should make to reward their loyal employees, not that the national law should say, you know, to force employees to stay in order to enjoy better holidays. And also, you know, talking about what to do, because I think we really should spend a little bit more time on that, because we've talked about how useless previous efforts have been, but you know what now, what really should be done in order to ensure that, you know, what is being said on the law could be put into reality.
I think that, I mean, if we look at in the United States, and certainly it's not a perfect example, I mean, I think you have to remember that the U.S. is a highly litigious society, and it's gotten even more so, even since I was a kid. But at the same time, you look at a lot of the recent successes over the last couple of decades when it comes to employees' rights, when it comes to things like sexual harassment, discrimination, and unfair treatment. A lot of the changes that we've seen have come about as a result of civil lawsuits, of people who they have a problem. And for whatever reason, the government doesn't take care of it, or maybe they don't even take it to the government because there is no law specifically targeting their specific situation. But they take the company to court and they sue them, and the company is liable for, you know, millions of dollars of punitive damages. And that's how a lot of our labor laws, or at least our labor rights, have really been enshrined and protected.
Exactly. Yes, that's a very good way of, I think, first of all, showing what parts of society needs improvement and actually ensuring it to, you know, some sort of change to happen. And here in China, more often it seems to be that it has to be the political will of the government, or just the government has a strong emphasis on a certain part that needs to be changed. And I think here we're sort of waiting for the authorities to come out with maybe a more specific stipulation about what the paid leave constitutes, and also the punishment of those violators who do not give people their lawful entitled paid annual leave.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, one of the reasons that I wanted to bring up, you know, the example of my home country is that compared to many other developed countries, actually the United States is under-regulated, you might say. Some say it's over-regulated, some say it's under-regulated. It doesn't really matter. But the point is that I think the problem is with a place like China is that we shouldn't be over-reliant on the authorities and on the government to take up civil action, right? Even though technically, you know, when it comes to class action lawsuits, it has to be a government department or an NGO affiliated with a government department in order to file that suit. I think really, I mean, when it comes to workers' rights, we kind of have to open it up to the marketplace a little bit and let, you know, people start filing more civil suits. And you'll see much as the accumulative monetary and financial losses of these companies accrues, these types of violations will occur less and less.
Exactly. I think civil lawsuit is a very important part. And there are figures saying that right now there are virtually none such lawsuits that made it to the court. Usually it's just mediation between the labor departments, the employee, and the company. But there has been very, very few lawsuits actually involving that. So I think it's definitely a sector that we should pay attention to.